The text before us is taken from the 22nd chapter of the Gospel of St. Luke, beginning with verse 31, and takes place the night of our Lord's arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Have you ever been given the look? My dad used to be able to stare at me across a crowded room and convey to me disappointment, anger, discipline, fear, just with a quick glance of his eyes. One of the great lines in Scripture regarding someone looking at someone has to do with the very night that Jesus was put on trial, and early that Friday morning as he was walking through the courtyard, possibly in chains, being taken away, and he looked down and saw Peter sitting by the fire, who had openly now denied him, denied knowing him and being with him, fulfilling Jesus' very prophecy that we have here tonight, or that referring to that very night here in our text. We're told at that incident that Jesus looked straight at Peter and he went outside and wept bitterly. It's interesting what a look can do from the right individual, to stare down into your soul and into your conscience and into your heart. Just hours before that incident took place, the words of our text are given from Jesus as a stern warning to Peter about what would be coming that night. We must keep in mind that already one of Jesus' disciples, Judas, had been taken away by the devil and would now be used against our Lord to have him arrested and so on. On the surface, the denials that Peter makes about knowing Jesus and being connected to him out there by the fire in the temple courtyard, those denials of him don't seem that big a deal and that bad, if you will, on the surface, and they don't seem to be of any great consequence. But our Lord sheds quite a different light on Peter's denial in the text before us. And we notice Jesus' affection for Peter, wanting him to not leave him spiritually, and how seriously he approaches the situation. He says to him, "Simon, Simon." He says his name twice for emphasis. There's a severity in the warning here in our Lord's voice. This is not something to be taken lightly, which is often the case for us, isn't it? That we can take temptation and sin so casually and lightly in our lives. And now Jesus, kind of behind the scenes, pulls back the curtain of what's going on in the spiritual realm and gives Peter a little glimpse into what is going to be happening in this situation, just as our Lord gives us a glimpse behind the curtain with Job when he is so severely tested in the Old Testament times. And we notice here that the devil has such personal interest in the spiritual life of Peter. He is focused in and honed in on targeting this individual man and to try and remove him and pull him away from Christ. And that's the way the devil is with all of us. Certainly there are times when he throws out blanket temptations in our culture and world that just hit everybody. But there are certain times in my spiritual life when he comes right at me in a moment of weakness, when he knows what can get at me and how he can possibly steal away my soul. Jesus gives us here a glimpse into the permissive will of God, that God at times permits the devil and his cohorts to come at us and to tempt us in very specific ways. He always sets a boundary to the temptation. He always puts a limit there. And at the same time, he permissively lets evil have its time and have a way with us, to come at us and to test us in our faith. Jesus uses the imagery of wheat being sifted, that it has to go through this rigorous process of being shaken. And sometimes in our lives, and maybe it hasn't happened to you yet, but maybe it will happen in your life, sometimes in our lives, God permits the devil to come and shake us pretty violently to put a pretty tough, severe test in front of us, to have us go through some great difficulty and some great tragedy, possibly, some things that will really challenge us in our spiritual lives, in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. And yet, we know from Scripture that whenever these things take place, God will always provide a way of escape for His faithful. But here we see that the barriers have been removed in Peter's situation to permit the devil to come in for a time now and to severely test him. Pastors will tell you that it is at moments in people's lives when they are being tested, maybe through going through a divorce, possibly a divorce in their family, or maybe their own personal situation, or maybe when people are dealing with particular family problems, maybe a crisis that's hit them in terms of employment, possibly some medical things. It's times like this when we are at moments of weakness, when people's spiritual lives can sometimes hang in the balance, when they can be so tempted to just push God away. And for a short time here, the devil succeeds with Peter in gaining the upper hand. And his victory over him, however, is only temporal, and it's not final. It's temporary. Now, Jesus' words to Peter imply that he does leave Christ for a time. He does spiritually leave him because our Lord speaks about him having to return. And in heaven, someday by God's grace, you and I may discover that there were times that we went through things in our life here in this world, and we maybe didn't realize the gravity and the severity of the situation, and that we actually had fallen out of God's kingdom of grace. But the Lord had gently returned us. Notice how much our Lord cherishes the spiritual life of every one of his followers, and the personal concern and the affection that he has here for Peter, which is true for all of us. And how well he knows the spiritual details, the ins and outs, if you will, of what goes on in your personal spiritual life. This is not something that is oblivious to Christ at all. And how concerned he is to have his individual members stay with him and remain in faith. We really get a glimpse here into the heart of Christ. We're told, in fact, he says to Peter that I have prayed for you. The Greek word here actually has to do with a deep, sincere prayer, one that just pours out his love and desire to God the Father to make sure that this one sheep of his stays in the flock. And Jesus says to Peter prophetically, "When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren." That's a great line. When you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. Our Lord's ultimate concern for us is that we, even if we've fallen, that we come back. And this can only happen through the door of repentance. In the same way that there's only one door into the kingdom of Christ initially, through repentance and faith, there is likewise only one door, if you've fallen out of the kingdom of grace, to come back in. And that is again through the door of repentance. And Peter is returned into that kingdom. If we follow this story through, we see our Lord go and be put on trial, and then he's taken and crucified to make atonement for all of our sins, even our sins of denial of him. And then 3 days later, he rises victoriously over sin and death and the grave. And then soon after that, we have this wonderful scene where he comes to speak again to Peter. And I talked earlier about the look that he had in his eyes when he saw him as he was denying him. I wonder what kind of look of tenderness our Lord Jesus had in the eyes of Peter when he spoke to him after his resurrection. They were forgiving eyes. They were compassionate eyes. Eyes that are no different than he would use to look at you as he speaks his word to you and gives you a sacrament today. Jesus singles out individuals through his word and through his means of grace and comes to us to speak again his compassion and his forgiveness and to restore us back into his kingdom of grace. And then don't be surprised if he somehow chooses to use you once you've gone through this ordeal and been returned. Don't be surprised if he somehow makes use of you in the life of someone else to restore them again into his kingdom of grace. Amen. Please rise for prayer. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for calling us into your kingdom of grace through faith in Christ our Savior, for cleansing us with his precious blood, and for giving us the sure hope of life in heaven. And we pray that you would equip us in various ways through your word and sacraments and through the gift of prayer, that we may remain in your kingdom forever and someday stand before your throne in glory. We ask it all in our Savior's saving name. Amen.
Thank you.